Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we go, ladies and gentlemen. We started out Saturday mornings quick, and we are so blessed to do this show, Doc Talk Podcast, hosted by my good friend, a brother, a mentor out there in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Greg Roscoe. Yours truly, Mark Mancini, producing, playing a little co-host with him, 347-205-9631. Show goes by quick. Catch the archive version on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports. Podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to, powered now by Mancini Media. And as this show keeps going, I know more and more people chime in each and every week. Pat Brown, it's a grass fire. Let your friends know what it's all about on Saturdays. We appreciate it. So without further ado, it's more him, less of me. Let me lay the red carpet down, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic. First of all, Greg, how are you this morning from Pittsburgh? Second of all, how can people get a hold of you? And third of all, boy, I'll tell you, we're going to debut this thing, talking nutrition, and is a pickle a vegetable?
Where do you want me to start? But, hey, Mark, we have a lot of good things this morning, and I can answer this, the questions in sequence. I'm doing great. Life is good. Weather in Pittsburgh is improving. And you know what's changing, which tells you we're getting to the warmer weather, where they're starting to do the pollen forecast on TV now, that they're telling us what the pollen counts are. And that means we're starting to get, you know, blooming. We're starting to get things rolling, flowering. So spring is coming to Pittsburgh in summer. So those are good things. And, Mark, if people want to get a hold of me, they can do doctalk1@outlook.com. doctalk1@outlook.com, or they can get me on Doc Talk on Facebook. And we have a phone number, too, if they're interested, 814-375-0455. So things are good. We're starting to get the pollen counts. Life is going on here, Mark. We're getting into that beautiful spring summer in western Pennsylvania. So thank you.
Yeah, a lot to talk about, and I'm so blessed to do this thing with you on Saturdays. Let's get into the, before we get into nutrition, I know you teased the listeners with that pickle thing. Is a pickle a vegetable? Is it a fruit? What is this pickle? I mean, we kind of grew up with it. But,
sure.
But let everybody know what it's all about, and we'll lay it out for them as we get more and more listeners chiming in right now.
Beautiful. You know what? A pickle is both. A pickle is a fruit, and a pickle is a vegetable. So it's on both sides of those main food groups. And, you know, this morning I wondered if I can bring that up. We wanted to talk a little bit about nutrition, healthy eating, and food groups. And the pickle was kind of a tease where, you know, we know about fruit. Fruits, as we have them defined in many places, are seed-bearing structures in flowering plants. A vegetable is part of a plant used as food. And I'll get into that a little later into the discussion, but they're interesting definitions of, you know, what we've been doing a long time and then really looking at it overall. So, you know, we can go from there, but a pickle is both. It's a fruit and a vegetable.
Wow, and we've got a lot of people chiming in, and I'll get to those questions so I can pass them over to you here momentarily. But, you know, when you look at the pickles, and boy, I'll tell you, you know, even going to the fairs and everything, those big, huge pickles that are, you know, unbelievable.
Yes.
And you think, where the heck, I mean, how the heck do they grow these things and stuff? Because we're so used to the Vlasic or the dill pickles types.
Sure.
And then you get these big ones at the fair. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it is. And, Mark, you know, with regard to vegetables, you know, a pickle's a cucumber. You know that to start with.
Right.
But overall, organic growers are getting very sophisticated. They're having healthier plants. So they produce healthier fruits. And as we as consumers, we benefit from all that with, you know, the improvement in our organic farming. So life is getting better, And again, it's a better quality food. Again, getting into nutrition, it's a better quality food for our eating healthy and our balanced diet. And, you know, as we mentioned about nutrition, the purpose of nutrition, Mark, is that the food, the drink that we eat provides energy to this fantastic organism, which is our body.
Very, very nice. And when you look at it, Ann from Duluth, Minnesota, a regular on this show, talking about pickles and everything and the idea of nutrition. And I know we're going to get into that, Greg, but, you know, to keep yourself, in active, and we talked about that in the past, but nutrition, how important is nutrition in your daily walk of life?
Very good question. You know, nutrition, of course, is the energy source that makes our body function. It makes us think. It makes us smell. It makes us breathe. It makes us hear. It helps our cardiac muscle. Nutrition is very important. It's fuel, if we can look at it like that. The better the quality of fuel we put in this organism, the better this organism functions. And, you know, it makes common sense that, you know, overall, we want to do good stuff for our body to keep it healthy, keep it repaired, keep it making what it needs to make us function in our daily lives. And I hope that answers your question. It's very important, you know. And, Mark, we go into the five food groups. You know, if we look at what our bodies need, I'd like to kind of get into that if you want me to kind of start.
Yes.
If there's any other question that needs answered.
Well, Dan from Woonsocket, Rhode Island, chiming in, says, guys, listen to your show on a weekly basis. Really like it. Very inspiring and knowledgeable. So keep up the good work. Thank you, Dan from Woonsocket, Rhode Island.
Thank you. Thank you very much. You know, I mentioned about nutrition and about, you know, again, providing fuel. Can we think about it, you know, in those lines? We need to put good material in this body so this body goes ahead and does what we ask it to do. And, again, we want to look at the five food groups. You know, I say there's five. There's probably six. We have the main five are fruits, vegetables, grains, protein, and dairy. Number six is junk food. All right? That's not a food group that we want to, you know, have our diet into. And, you know, if we do our daily complements of fruits, veggies, grains, protein, dairy, our body does what it needs to do. Things like our cell reproduction, making new muscles for our heart and strengthening them, making enzymes, hormones, repairing diseased areas, helping defend us from infection and other antibodies. So it's important. And, you know, I break it down and, okay, what are the food groups as we just discussed? You know, fruits. Well, we know about fruits. You know, and again, Webster defines fruits as seed-bearing structures in flowering plants. Apples, oranges, all right? Then, you know, you have the berries that we all love. That's part of the fruit family. Our veggie component, now this is interesting. You know, it's defined as parts of a plant used as food. Edible plant matter. The literature breaks things down kind of interestingly. We talk about plants and flowers. Well, you know, the vegetable, one of the vegetable flowers that we eat is broccoli. The fruit from some of the plants, and there are many, tomatoes can be in that category. We talk about the stems of the plants, where celery, asparagus come from. We talk about the leaves of plants, which is lettuce. We talk about the roots of plants, carrots, beets, radishes, sweet potatoes, turnips. We talk about underground stems as white potatoes. So with the definition, we kind of look at where different vegetables come from on our vegetable plants. Does that seem a little helpful to our listeners, Mark? talking about nutrition and fruits and veggies.
It really does. And I know we got Janice from Oceanside, California. You were talking one of those things was dairy products, and she goes, how important is almond milk these days? Because you see a lot more people drinking almond milk.
Sure. You know, almond milk, of course, uses the nut, which has, and again, now the word milk's a little bit misleading because, again, we get that from dairy. But overall, you know, it's in our patients and our people that have some difficulty with dairy. Either they have an intolerance to the milk or dairy protein, or they're unable to go ahead and have a normal reaction as an allergy. So people that have a dairy allergy, dairy intolerance, almond milk is fantastic. And, you know, you can use almond milk in many other dishes, but that does eliminate the problems with dairy if your genetics is so inclined not to tolerate it well.
Exactly. And, you know, for you know, with her talking about the almond milk, I usually use the non-fat or the reduced-fat milk. I stay away from the whole milk. But, you know, with more and more people trying to put more and more nutrients in their system, I think it's quite different than what we grew up years back in more ways than one, wouldn't you say?
I do. You know, as far as you mentioned a couple things, Mark, you know, with regard to dairy and milk, you know, you have different products. You know, we have whole milk, we have the 2% milk, then we have the skim milk. And I think you're familiar with all of those. But now realize the dairy protein is the same in all three. The difference in the milk is the fat content. You know, milk overall has about 3.2% fat. Then we get the 2% fat. Then we have the non-fat milk, which is the skim. But it deals with the fat content, not the protein. So if someone's having an intolerance to milk or an allergy, using a reduced fat product does not change that. Are you with me on that?
I am definitely with you. And Bill from Mesa, Arizona, chiming in. He says, hey, guys, this is a nice subject because I can segue into eggs. I used to eat a lot of scrambled eggs, and I cut back on that. Now I eat egg whites. Tough to eat, not like the scrambled eggs, but, boy, I'll tell you, I feel much better in my everyday life. Egg whites now. Bill from Mesa.
Sure. Yes, Bill, I understand that. You know, with eggs, there's two components. There's egg yolk and egg white. Each of them is a different protein. So that if he's having trouble with scrambled eggs, which is using the yolk and the yolk protein, that's great that he's able then to switch over and use the egg white. But it's a two-protein system, an egg. So that overall, when we do our allergy testing, we do test for egg yolk and egg white. So indeed, if there's some problem with the yolk protein, they can sure do the white. But he found a solution that he's still able, you know, to eat eggs, but not the same way he used to overall.
Yeah,
I think that
that's another. Yeah, that's another one. And, you know, we're getting more and more of these questions coming in. I'm seeing a lot of these guys. Tim from Biloxi, Mississippi, basically saying he starts his morning out with a nice cup of decaffeinated coffee, a yogurt, and sliced bananas. Boy, I'll tell you, you got more and more people chiming in on this subject, Craig.
Well, I would say, you know, again, the coffee being decaf, you eliminate some of the caffeine. Of course, caffeine can be stimulatory to our heart as well as our inner ear. Now, realize that decaffeinated coffee, you know, does have some chemistry in it that we ought to be a little careful of in not having maybe more than one cup or two cups a day. You know, nothing's without complications these days. The banana's good. You know, realize banana has a lot of sugar, So one banana a day is not going to hurt anything. Hopefully he's not diabetic, but indeed the banana, maybe a small banana would be the better way to go. And what was the other item that he ate? Yogurt. And again, yogurt is our dairy. You know, yogurt does have dairy protein as well as the milk protein, but also it has sugars. So, again, they're good, but we want to make sure we're giving him the best nutrition. But a cup of decaf's good, maybe a smaller banana, and then maybe looking at, yogurts that have very little sugar in, which, again, would help him lose weight if he's interested at all in doing a little bit of weight loss and not putting on calories.
Yeah, and just to stay on this subject of the breakfast, we've got, the yogurts, the egg whites going, the almond milk. I'm a big proponent of oatmeal. I tend to, eat the oatmeal dry. I don't put no milk in it. And then I'll use a little bit of Equal, to get the sweetening in there.
Sure.
Anything wrong with that? I mean, because nobody talks about oatmeal as much as they talk about cereals and all this other stuff. And there's just, loaded up with questions now with the nutrients. God, what a subject to tackle today here with the listeners. But oatmeal is a big, I love it.
Yes, and I think that's good. Oatmeal falls into our grain family. And, it has fiber in it, which is good. I don't know how you eat it dry, though. My God. But the oatmeal, good for many other reasons. But the biggest thing is the fiber content of the oatmeal, which, again, helps with our elimination process. So that I think it's good to do that. And, again, the Equal, I'd be a little bit careful with some of the chemistry in the sweeteners, though, Mark. You want to be as, non-toxic to your body as you can. So that I would go ahead, maybe be a little light on the Equal, but indeed you could add a little bit of almond milk to that, Mark, and again, get a little bit of protein there, because there's not a lot of protein in oatmeal, okay?
Right, that's the thing, because we kind of grew up with the Quaker oats and, all that stuff, and, that's another one. We've got another one coming in here, and this is Michael from Pensacola, Florida, and he goes, where does raisins fit into the nutrient system? He's a big fan of raisins. You can remember going to school and taking raisins to, in his lunch bag there.
Sure.
So, yeah, that's another good one.
That raisins are good for you. Again, now realize it's one of our fruits. It comes from grapes. And for the most part, raisins are good. They have fiber. But, again, there's a lot of sugar in raisins. So, again, quantity is very important. I would, again, I'm not sure how many raisins or how much of a raisin packet he would eat. But, overall, when we talk about servings of fruits, that, typically if one should do, let's say, a medium-sized apple or a medium-sized orange per day, you've got to watch the raisins, though, because the raisins indeed have a lot of sugar, but again, they give us fiber so that you can do them, but just watch the number. A half a cup of raisin is what I would recommend on a daily basis. I'd be a little careful doing more than that overall. Again, pending his health, other health issues, okay? But raisins are good. You do have some vitamins there and minerals. And then you have fiber, but you have a lot of sugar.
Where does dates fall into this category, Greg? Because, with this gentleman talking about, bringing up, Michael bringing up the raisins and you breaking it down, inquiring minds want to know where do dates fall into this?
Well, dates are very much, dates are a fruit, because, again, they fall into our definition of what a fruit is, seed-bearing structures here in flowering plants. Dates have a lot of sugar. Again, they have fiber, they have vitamins, they have minerals. But again, I would be careful in quantity. And it's like a lot of things, Mark. A little bit of moderation goes a long way as opposed to you know, kind of eating a lot of these, having that as an ongoing snack food. I would do a little moderation with dates, raisins, you know, that family of fruit. But again, moderation
nice.
Is not a bad thing. Yes.
Yeah. Now, talking about the nutrients, and we're going to be getting into this next week because this is a long subject to cover in a short period of time, and we don't want to shortchange it. But when you look at everything that we've broken down and the yogurt and everything, some yogurts are different than other yogurts. There's a Greek yogurt. There's, you know, the sugar yogurts. There's the non-fat yogurts. Where do we when we look at, okay, let me start on yogurt. You know, or something, you know, there's different yogurts that do different things for you, and there's yogurts that have, you know, sugar in it, and there's other yogurts that don't have sugar in it that might not taste as good. So where would we start for somebody that's trying to, you know, turn
sure.
their life around and go down a straight path?
So I think what you're asking is how can we, you know, eat healthy, balanced diet, incorporate
yeah.
yogurt into it. Is that what you're asking?
I think basically, you know, because some people say that if you know, yogurt has sugar in it, yogurt has this, you know, and people, you know, try to steer you with, you know, the other one where it's not as sweet
sure.
as the yogurt.
With regard to yogurt, it is dairy. You have dairy protein. And I mean, some of the yogurts are very good. You know, you have yogurt with fruit in, you know, which is a real yummy dessert. But again, you have to be cognizant of protein sensitivity, if they're, you know, dairy sensitive, if they're diabetic. So we need to make sure, you know, that can they have it? The answer is yes. Moderation's the way to go, but they need to make sure they understand their own chemistries, if you will, Mark, and being responsible for that. You know, you don't want to have someone that's a diabetic eating, you know, 6, 8, 10 ounces of a yogurt that, you know, has sugar in it. And then they go ahead and possibly have a cup of coffee and a donut. You know, they're going to get hyperglycemic on us here. So it is something we need to watch, but moderation, I believe, is the word here. Again, you can get different types of yogurt. You're correct. There is a whole variety of yogurts with regard to protein content, sugar content, dairy content. So I think going to, you know, a health food store, taking a look at that, and then again, once you find one that fits your dietary needs, what's the taste? How does it taste? And again, that's very important. So a little bit of trial and error with that one, Mark. I think we need to be a good shopper and make sure that if we buy some of those items, which may be a little costly, are we willing to eat them? So,
yeah, no doubt about it. Beth from Duluth, Minnesota, chiming in and basically saying, you know, I'm a firm believer in, you know, eating a lot of salads. Salad dressing is very important to me. Any recommendations on that? Because I try to, you know, more or less use oil and vinegar with my salad.
Yes.
You know, more so than the other stuff.
Good. You know, as far as salads, we know that that's lettuce, of course, and then hopefully we have an array of vegetables there as well within our salad. And again, we can do protein as well with meat. So it's really can be a complete meal for us with having protein, then vegetables. The salad dressing, you know, at times can be a no-no. Oil and vinegar, especially olive oil, that
right.
is one of the essential fatty acids that our body needs. So that's a good one. And vinegar, on the other hand, not bad, not good, kind of one of those things that's kind of in the middle, but does add a little bit to the taste and enhance us to want to eat that salad. So I think she's made a good health choice. And again, I think, you know, what you put in that salad also can enhance her dietary intake, giving her protein, giving her minerals, giving her vitamins. So very good health choice.
You know, and just to piggyback off that, Greg, you know, I've seen salad dressings, and you could pay like $6, $7 for a salad dressing. compared to something like, you know, $3. Is there a difference?
Sure.
Or it's just the way, you know, or it's just a name brand behind it? You'll see Newman salad dressing, and,
sure,
you know, you might pay more than, you know, a Kraft or something. Is there really a difference with the ingredients in that thing? Or is it just a name you're paying for more part of that?
No, I think you're right. I think there is a combination of things. Anything healthy or organic, you know, if you look into that, Mark, that type of a salad dressing, you know, low sugar, has, you know, canola oil in, maybe some peanut oil in, maybe it has the olive oil in, which are a little more expensive. Items tend to be a little more expensive. Brand name, you pay for more. You may have more overall quality control with the item as opposed to a generic brand that has, you know, more sugar in. And you have to be careful of some of the salad dressings with the sugar content or the corn syrup content. All right? That, if you look at the label, it will have, you know, the different ingredients. But you always want to check that, you know, corn syrup. That's sugar. That we want that to be as a minimum as possible in our dressings, especially if we're trying to eat healthy, trying to get protein, all right, in our salad, trying to get even some fruit, a good fruit salad. Would like to be very cautious of the corn syrup content of the dressing.
Wow, you've opened up Pandora's box. We're getting a lot of questions about celery, radishes, squash,
yes,
spinach. And, boy, I know we're going to be talking about a lot of it next week, less than 3 minutes in this show today. Why don't you let everybody know what we're going to be talking about next week, continuing with the nutrition and just a potpourri of things we've discussed in the past to get ready for this debut show today.
Well, thank you. You know, what I'd like to do for our listeners next week is I would like to talk a little more about nutrition and what our needs are. You know, what's the best for our body? And then the other thing is kind of potpourri. We have some other items still. I know we haven't really closed on our vertigo, hearing loss, summer disease. So I have a few things I'd like to bring up next week to kind of finish the discussions if our listeners would like to have that done. But I think I call it a potpourri, Mark. I think you used the right word. And, again, we can sure add some nutrition to that and give them a little more information.
Yeah, talking about nutrition, you know, this thing is really taking a life all its own. Talking about almond milk with the listeners today, talking about yogurt, I'm bringing up oatmeal. There's just so many things. You know, we've got a listener talking about salad dressings to follow up on that, and we can go down the list, and now I'm getting even more. Where does beans fit into this? And chili.
Well, sure. No, go ahead.
Yeah,
you know, beans overall, you're correct. You know, beans are definitely vegetables. Beans have a lot of protein in, so it is something, you know, overall we can sure talk about. And then the other issue, Mark, piggyback on that, is being a vegetarian. How does a vegetarian fit into this nutritional picture? So I think there are some areas to go here that our listeners may be interested in overall. And like I said, you know, the kind of a garbage can that I talked about were the sweets and or the junk foods that, you know, we have been eating in our country. And a lot of us have grown up on those things that would like to maybe cut that area down and put more of our food content into the veggies, the grains, and the fruits. So
exactly.
I think we have a lot to talk about. And next week should be a very interesting show.
Well, as we wrap this one up, my brother, how can everybody get a hold of you?
They can get a hold of me at doctalk1@outlook.com, on Facebook, or give me a call, 814-375-0455. Thank you.
Well, I'll tell you, as Greg lays that down for Greg, out there in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, yours truly, Mark Mancini, out here in Los Angeles. Catch the archive version of this show on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports, podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to, powered now by Mancini Media. let everybody know, you know, this is a unique show we run here on the network, and we're picking up steam and, you know, get a domino effect with it across the boards, and let everybody, you know, family members, friends know what this thing is on Saturdays, because I'll tell you, just so buzzed to produce this. Guys, stay tuned at the top of the hour, the Sports Talk Saturdays from Oakland, followed by Seattle, Washington, and James Donaldson. Till then, have a blessed one. We'll be back next week, same time, same channel. Good day, everybody.